Romans chapter 16. Appreciate yesterday. I thought we had a good time. Man, dinner on the grounds. And had Brother Mike Easter wait on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter number 16. Paul is real quick in the Bible of pointing out people that helped him out. Amen. And I've learned this about Christianity, that you ain't going to go very far without somebody helping you out.
That's right.
Yep. Amen. I mean, that's how this thing works. And nobody here got here just by yourself.
Right.
Somebody helped you out.
Right.
And the way this works is we help other people out.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't die on the vine.
Yeah.
Amen. And nowadays, we got a bunch of folks that are spiritually, I don't know, I guess the good word to use was retarded. I mean, I'm not being mean, but spiritually, they don't try to help anybody else. And the church suffers for that. And young people kind of lean toward that way. And especially when they get cold. Amen. And then couples, they fight and fuss all week, get mad at each other, and don't do nothing for God. And after a while, everything gets stale. That's why you need revival. Amen. But look in Romans chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And here he starts mentioning these people, and he starts out with this lady. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Amen. I like Phoebe. Amen. And I know in every church there's a Phoebe. But in every church there's a dweeby. So I got a whole message on whether you are Phoebe or a dweeby. Phoebe cooks for everything that happens. I mean, she brings food. And everybody wants to know what Phoebe cooked. And they also want to know what dweeby brought. Because they want to kind of stay away from that. Amen. Phoebe, she's a blessing. The Bible says here, it says she is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now, folks, you'd have a lot going for you if that was said about you.
Yeah.
Amen. If somebody mentioned your name, if Brother Ryman mentioned your name somewhere out and said, yeah, said she's a servant of our church, that'd be high ground, wouldn't you reckon?
Yeah.
Amen. I learned this about Phoebe. Phoebe don't have Facebook. Can I get an amen right there? I am against it. I hate it. I hate to be accosted every time I try to do anything on the internet. They want you to join. I ain't doing it. I don't want no part of it. I don't care what you do every day. Hey, what are you wearing? My gaydar goes off. Amen. Phoebe don't gossip. Amen. I got a friend of mine that's got a deer farm he just started, and he's got a prize buck that he bought. It's 226 inches, if you know anything about antlers and all that. And he got that in Alabama, and he had about 25 does in there with that big buck. And one of them does, he got, the big 8-foot fences, and a big storm came. One of them does tried to jump the fence and hurt its leg. And we were riding around in a golf cart looking at these deer, and he started out with that. Now he's got over 100. And he showed me that doe, and she was limping around. He said, you see that doe? That's the one that got hurt. Said she'd have to hide in that little patch of woods right there, because every time she would come out, the other does would try to beat her up. I said, really? He said, oh, they'd kick her. They'd try to kill her. I said, why is that? He said, because she had a little infirmity. He said, he looked at me, he's an old man. He goes, people are like that. They get a little something wrong with them. Everybody else starts picking at them. And the women are bad for that. I'm going to go out on a limb here. You fellas, you just don't even say amen right here because you might incriminate yourself. But, they're like hens in the hen house. You ever raise chickens? One of them gets a little bite or something on it, a little bug bite or something, and the other hens will try to pick at it. Man, that's good preaching right there. Amen. Say, what are you saying? Phoebe ain't like that.
Amen.
She worries about folks, takes care of people. Amen. There's always somebody like that around.
Yep.
And you can find them. You can pick them out. Amen. They'll make sure you got Mountain Dew. Amen. That's Phoebe. Then you got Dweeby that she don't say nothing to nobody. She comes in. She's like a little weird little island. She comes in. All of her little problems have got her. She won't even say hi to anybody. Y'all thinking about anybody right now? That's Dweeby. But it says here in verse number 2, now this is what Paul says about Phoebe, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. I know some preachers that think themselves pretty important, but I'm going to tell you, I don't see them matching up to Phoebe. I'd rather have her than have the ministerial alliance on my side, the ministerial walk. Amen. It says, whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Paul said, man, she helped me. When I was down, she was there. She was a servant of the church. Then it says here in verse number 3, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now here's what I want to preach about. Look what this says. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So I'd like to preach for a little while tonight on sticking your neck out. That's what these folks did. They stuck their necks out for Paul. So what are you saying? They could have been killed. You ever think about Ananias? God told him to go over there to Saul. And, you know, Paul, he changed his name. He says, he is a chosen vessel to me. Well, Ananias already knew, man, that guy was, he was sending people to be killed. Amen. You know what he did? He stuck his neck out. You ever read over there where they took Paul and they let him down the wall in a basket? Dee Dee Hall, she wrote a song on that. Man, a great song. Amen. Said, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, murdered Christians, met the Lord while on his way. God changed his name from Saul to Paul. His old friends, now he could not stay. Said he led, the friends led him down the wall in a basket. Indeed, he wrote in that song, you never know who's in your basket. They had no idea who they was leading down the wall in that basket. They had no idea he'd become the greatest preacher, greatest missionary that ever was. Amen. So what happened? Somebody stuck their neck out. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, God, for this book. And I, Lord, I pray you'll help us now. And God, we're totally dependent upon thee, Spirit of God. Help us, Lord, this supernatural transaction that takes place through preaching. God, that you'll help. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight that sticking your neck out is exactly what that means. That means that you might get killed. You might mess up. Amen. The person you're sticking your neck out, they may burn you. But you don't stop sticking your neck out. Anybody here right now that's trying to live for God and God's got his hand on them, somebody stuck their neck out for you. Amen. And some people we know and some people we talk about and we admire quite a bit, especially around here. Amen. They stuck their neck out for us. Dr. Ruckman, we mentioned him a lot. And me and Brother Allen, and Allen knew him well. I knew him well. We don't just talk about him as somebody we, amen, admired. No, he stuck his neck out for us. Brother Howie's sitting here, and man, us, and we were losers. Nobody else wanted us. Amen. And he had different thoughts. He'd use crack pots. Amen. And thank God somebody stuck their neck out. Amen. And you're sitting here right now. Somebody's sticking their neck out for you. Why in the world would you even be here? Somebody didn't love you. They're sticking their neck out now. I've always watched this thing in the ministry. I'm an evangelist, and I got pastors that I preach for years, and I admire, and I watch them. Amen. And Alan, I talk about Alan when I'm in other meetings and all. And Alan, he does stuff unconventional. Alan has went the extra mile with folks that I've even told him, man, lose them. Amen. And he won't. He'll stick his neck out for you. And I'm going to tell you what happens with him. He always comes out smelling like a rose. Amen. You say, why? Because he loves folks. Amen. And Dr. Ruckman, he didn't fit into the ministerial alliance and all them guys and all the famous preachers and all them. You get around him, he'd just soon go fishing than do anything else. Amen. And when we got around him, we found out, man, he loved us. I remember Alan taught me into going down there. We went down to PBI for one of the blowouts there. And man, I forget, it was when Dia Garner graduated. And he taught me into going. And I went down the hallway there to his office, and he was coming out. And you know how he was. He's always on a mission. And he stopped there and looked at me, and he goes, what are you doing here, man? I said, I come to see you. Amen. He put his arms around me, and amen. He said, I love you. I said, I love you too, Doc. And you know what he did? He stuck his neck out for us. Amen. He asked me this. He goes, well, man, are you using anything we taught you down here? I'm trying to, Doc. He said, well, I hear good things about you, man. Oh, yeah. Go on now. I'm busy. Amen. But I'm telling you, I've learned this thing in life that you're going to be used of God. You got to stick your neck out. Brother Glenn Stocker, he is something else. He's a work of art. Can you agree with me on that? Amen. Amen. And Brother Glenn, if he's your friend, he's your friend for life. He will die for you. I mean, literally, he will stick his neck out, won't he? And if it don't matter if you don't like the guy, if he's Brother Glenn's friend, he'll take up for him. And he can do it. Amen. If push comes to shove, he'll kick your head off. Amen. And 10th degree black or 9th degree, whatever he is, and I'd shoot him. Cut him, man. Go for the jugular vein. Do something. Bite his nose off. Try to do something. But I've watched him before, and I've seen him go the mile with people, and I'm like, man, what in the world? And you know what they do? They stick their neck out. Amen. I'm looking at folks right now. Somebody stuck their neck out for you. And I don't know. I don't know how. I would be doing well tonight if I made you feel like a worm. Take all the love. Take all what everybody gives you and give nothing back. I don't understand that. But they'll keep loving you, and they'll keep sticking their neck out for you. Go ahead and do them dirty if you want. But I'm going to tell you, come judgment day, you'll wish you'd done different. Sorry to vent a little bit right there, but that's all right, ain't it? Amen. As long as I can get his approval on it, it's all right. Amen. Let me say number one about sticking your neck out. It's an unusual life. It's unusual. So what do you mean? It goes against all of what the world teaches. The world is dog eat dog. And I'm going to tell you young guys something, get in the ministry. Don't be that way in the ministry. Amen. Don't just do attacking everybody and going after everybody. Amen. If they don't see eye to eye to you, get in your lane, however weird it is, and do something for God. Who cares what they say? Well, do you know what they teach? Who cares? Amen. Go on. Do something for God. Find somebody you can stick your neck out for. It's an unusual life. I'm going to tell you what, boys, this life will take you around the world. You stick your neck out for people and God put his hand on you, he will literally take you around the world. Amen. Took me and Brother Howie all the way to the Philippines. It's amazing to me. I said, I go into the Philippines one time a few years ago, and I don't know if you've ever had this flight or not, but it goes into Guangzhou, China. Here I am sitting in Guangzhou, China, a communist country, by myself, and I got a T-shirt on. It's got scripture on it and everything. I'm going, Man, I'm here, people are gawking at me. I'm in there, you know, I got a four-hour layover, I'm reading my Bible, and then Chinese are going by. I go, but man, the God will take you to places you never dreamed. We went to Germany. We landed in Paris Airport. And here we are. There was 50-something people from Shady Acres. Here's Gary Lutrich and all of us. Here we are. We are in Paris. I said, here we are, a bunch of rednecks. They're playing the guitar and singing songs. Them French people were coming by, man, they didn't know what was going on. And we went to Germany. We've been to St. Lucia, Africa. I preached in South Africa. God will take you places you never dreamed. Amen. He'll take you to Delaware. This foreign country that y'all have here. Amen. All the way to California, to New York, all over the place. He'll take you places you never dreamed of. Amen. Try him and see. Stick your neck out. See if God doesn't do something. He will. It's an unusual life, very unusual. Bible says this, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. That's Jesus Christ talking. That's John chapter 15. And that your joy might be full. You got a little problem with remaining or maintaining any kind of joy in your life? Amen. Sour head. Amen. I'm going to tell you where that joy is. Stick your neck out for somebody. Amen. Says this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. He's going to lay down his life. He knows that. But you know what he wants us to do? Lay down our lives for our friends. You know what Paul said? Paul said, who have laid down their own necks. Say, why? So he could go on and do something. Why, them folks had laid down their life for him, laid down their neck. They didn't know he was going to be the greatest preacher it ever was. Who knows in here? Amen. Who ever dreamed that God would use you? Allow some of you to go to Bible school. How in the world? Amen. Here you are part of the church and God's gave you a family. Amen. And looking at some of you, how did that happen? Girls, how many fingers am I holding up? Can you see? Are you blind? How does this happen? Well, God's been good to me. Amen. Brother Gary, God been good to this old boy, I'll guarantee you. Amen. The secret of serving God is sticking your neck out for somebody. Amen. The secret for messing up and getting out is always worry about you. Amen. That's the whole premise. That's the whole premise behind addictions. People get addicted because you are a narcissist. All you care about is you. Amen. And all those addictions are self-sustaining. Amen. I'd hate to have a little old habit get me to where I couldn't even be used of God in any kind of capacity. Whether it's tobacco, pot. Amen. I don't know. Maybe you're a meth head sitting here. Maybe you're just a wretch. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you're self-consumed. And people around you, they're sticking their neck out for you. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what else. When you stick your neck out for somebody, you know what you'll see? You'll see an unwavering faith. Amen. You will actually start praying for people. Some of you wonder why you don't have a prayer life. Have you ever listened? Tape yourself praying sometime. Good food, good meat. Time's a wasting, let's eat. Amen. I liked to talk to an old boy in Tennessee one time. We had revival, and they had an all-night prayer meeting. And what they would do is people come in, and they'd sign up a little sign-up sheet, and they'd have like 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And 2 to 3. And there's an old boy there in the church. He's an old farmer and stuff. You know, he come in with his bibbed overalls. And he said, I had that, 2 to 3 o'clock time because I milk cows in the morning. And he got in there and he said, I prayed there on the altar. I prayed and prayed. I prayed for my family, everybody in the church. He said, and I looked, it's been 8 minutes. He said, I still got 52 to go. He said, then I'd pray for all my neighbors and pray for everybody I knew. He said, and I looked and there's another 6 minutes. He said, I went and got the missionary list and the church prayer list and prayed and there's another 5 minutes. And then he told me, he said, then something started happening, Brother Mark. I said, what's that? He said, I just got down and started talking to the Lord. Woo! I said, what happened then, brother? And he said, I'll tell you what it was like. He said, it was like milking cows. I said, really? And he said, the more I pulled, the more I got. Amen. And I'll guarantee you, if you hadn't met with God in a while, you ain't pulling. Amen. You waiting on somebody else to pull for you. Like you ever milked a cow and them cats will get there in the barn and be waiting for you. And you every once in a while you just hit them with a lick over there. Some of y'all, you don't even know. You don't even know where milk comes from. I'm shooting down the wrong hole right here. Amen. The folks God uses are the most unlikely. Amen. And it'll take you to a faith. I don't know how many of y'all ever met Brother Jimmy Hood. Brother Jimmy Hood was one of my buddies, and he got saved out of a biker life in Columbus, Ohio. And he lived in a place called the Bottoms. And if anybody here has ever been in the ghetto down there in Columbus, that's what they call that place down there, is the Bottoms, and it is. And Brother Jimmy Hood went down to the Bottoms, started a mission church, and that's where he stuck his life in down there. So what did he do? He stuck his neck out for folks. I'd go there and preach every December for him. And we went down one day, and he goes, come on, Brother Mark. He said, we're going down the river. He said, one of my old buddies down there, he said, one of them that lives on the riverbank down there, his brother died, and I got to tell him. And we went down there, and we pulled off the side of the road somewhere down there off of the skyline of downtown Columbus right there around the river. And we walked down through these weeds that was as tall as this ceiling here and went down a little dirt path. And we got down there around the river, and there was little shanties all built there, a little shanty town. And that day it was 22 degrees because I was always there in December. And we found this little shanty, and he hollered out. And everybody down there, Brother Allen, they all knew, said, preacher's here. And he walked down in them shanties, and I'm telling you, I wouldn't want a dog to live in one of them. And we went down there. The old boy's brother died, and we got in that little shanty and sat down on a, he sat down on a milk carton, and I sat down on a bucket. He had on the dirt there, he had about 18 cents laid out, and he's trying to get enough change to buy him a quart. And Brother Jimmy told him about his brother dying, and he hung his head there and cried, and Brother Jimmy leaned over there, old boy that ain't probably bathed in months and months and months, and he went over and hugged his neck, and he grabbed Brother Jimmy and just hugged and squeezed on him. And I said, let's see the pastor of the First Baptist Church down here. Let's see the average deacon in a Baptist church. Oh, they wouldn't stick their neck out for nobody. Brother Jimmy, he had bad health. He lived a hard life. He had a heart attack when he was, I forget how old he was, but he died on the operating table. And he ended up with a defibrillator and all that in his heart. And we were in Houston one time, and he called me, and we preached together. He was something else, the Hood. And he told me one day there on the phone, he left a message. I kept it on my phone for a long time, and he said, hey, Brother Mark, how you doing? And he paused, and he started crying. He goes, I just called to tell you I love you. And hung up. And then my old buddy died, and he left us. And went down there, the church is in the Bottoms, and right next to the church is a funeral home. And the funeral home is going to bury him, and they didn't even charge the church. That's how much he was loved down there in them Bottoms. And I got, me and my wife went down there, and we went to the viewing that night. Funeral was the next day. We got in that funeral home, and you know how it goes. They had what Jimmy would call them was the suburbanites were there. That's all his family. That's people who lived up on the hill. And they all was in little packs, you know, talking and stuff. And I come in and I walked over to Brother Jimmy's body, you know, and I hate that kind of stuff. And I went and sat down and I started observing. And those suburbanites and family would all get together and talk. And that's what people do at the viewings and all that. I understand that. But all of a sudden there was another little element that would start trickling in there every once in a while. And when they walked in, the suburbanites would make room for them, say, why, they were filthy. They were street people, and they stunk. A lot of them smelled like urine and alcohol and everything else. And them folks would come in, and I'd watch them slip by all the suburbanites. They'd walk over there to that casket, and I'd see them. They'd look at each other and be crying. They'd walk over and they'd put their hands on Brother Hood or touch his Bible. And I heard one old gal there, she was a mess. She was a prostitute for years, lost all of her teeth, that old meth and all that. And I heard her lean down there, and she went, thank you, preacher. Thank you for loving me when nobody else did. Man, I'm telling you, woo! That's what God's people do. You better be careful how you talk about them. Better be careful what you say. Don't you dare say they don't care about you. Don't you dare. Don't you let the devil do that. They'll stick their neck out for you. Amen. I'll tell you, my outlines are pitiful. But here's another point. It's an unbelievable trip. Amen. It's people. We got down there, Brother Jim Chandler's one time, there's an old boy there in the church, Brother Mikey McCarroll. Mikey McCarroll was something else. He was something. He was a rough old boy, wore old bibbed overalls all the time. And he had on the back of his truck, he had redneck on there. And he was down in Little Rock, and some guys pulled up in the car, about eight or nine of them pulled up in the car, and they hollered up, said, hey, man, you a redneck? He looked down and pulled out a .357 Magnum out of the under seat, and he went, boom, boom, boom. And he goes, what do y'all think? He down there, and the guy was in his house talking bad about Brother Chandler. And he got underneath the couch, got one of his pistols out, and emptied it into the firewood. Amen. He had firewood stacked up, emptied his gun. Pictures were falling off the walls. His wife comes, what are you doing? He goes, shut up, woman. He said, I'm teaching Sunday school. Amen. That guy got out of there. Amen. And I went down there one time to preach revival and went over to his house. He had me over to his house eat sandwiches. He lived right around the corner from the church there. And he's gone to be with the Lord now. But I remember we got there and his boy Stevie called him. He was a mess. And I said, where's he at? He said, he's in town, Brother Mark. So he's gotten on that crystal meth and all that stuff. I said, well, let's go see him. He goes, really? I said, yeah, man, let's go. It's about 11 o'clock at night. We jumped in the car and went down there. And he goes, go up there and pound on the door. He said, get him out of bed, Brother Mark. And that boy would go to camp with us, you know, and all that. And I went up there, and, man, I was pounded on that door, and I looked around. I didn't see Mikey nowhere. I'm going, where's he at? And I looked over under the tree, and he's laying under the tree praying. Amen. I'll be honest with you, folks. I miss them old boys. Amen. We get in churches now, folks, they could care less about their community. Amen. These kids that are sitting in here, some of them, man, split homes. These kids come in on the buses and all. They just need somebody to love them. It's an unbelievable trip. Unbelievable. Amen. I have ran with a crowd that is above and beyond what you could ever imagine. God has put me with the guys that, amen, we can't stand the fancy Dan preachers, the celebrities. God has put us together. We got a good bunch, man. Our stripe, if there is such a thing, says stripe. Well, it's like a skunk, but it's a stripe. It's got a smell to it, but at least we're our own stripe anyhow. Amen. But God's given us some people to say, what have we done? We've just, Somebody asked me, said, what do you do in evangelism, Brother Mark? I said, I try to stay out of the way. Amen. So what do? Travel around, see what God does next. Stick your neck out. And you know what you'll have? You'll have unmistakable fruit for it. There'll be people that'll love you till they die. Amen. You know what Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila and them, you know what they did? They stuck their neck, they laid their necks out for Paul. Said, why? They loved him. Amen. How about you? Who's in your weird little world? You got anybody in there? Do you got anybody right now that you're trying to stick your neck out for? Say, well, you know, they ain't got much going for them. They're always fighting. They're always in trouble. Oh, man. Goody. Amen. God can do something there. Amen. Some of you, where would you be? Come to church. And I went to a church one time, and there was an old boy there that came, and he walked in about 5 minutes after church started. And one of the guys in the church there met him, you know, and he come in, and he goes, man, you're kind of late. We said, come on in, sit anywhere you want. And that guy said he was an old street bum. He said, I went down to this big Baptist church down the road here. They told me I couldn't come in because the way I was dressed. Said, I had an odor about me. Said, would you all let me come in? He goes, come on in here. He said, you can sit on the platform if you want. Amen. I don't know. I don't know if that guy couldn't. He might have been an angel unawares. Amen. But sitting here right now, I know this, in this old life we live in, it's a lot better if you stick your neck out for somebody. Amen. Last week we was up there at Brother Bard's, and one of his gals, she's gotten out, and it breaks her heart. It breaks her heart when you get out. I remember Josh was out there for a while, buddy. I prayed for you every single day. Amen. Amen. Brother Stockers, Leah, I pray for her every day. Amen. It breaks her heart when you're out. And you know what people do? They get out and they get cold. Amen. They start talking about the church and all. That's the devil. Yeah. Amen. And people, men around here, just keep sticking their neck out for you. Hallelujah. God's people are the best. If you're around somebody and they're always talking bad about everybody, they got a spiritual problem. Amen. God's people are the best. I know we're a weird bunch. Man, we're the bottom of the barrel. How could we not have problems? I mean, look at this church. Look at in here. How can there not be troubles? Amen. As Brother Glenn said, some of y'all are dumber than a barrel of hair. It ain't no wonder. Amen. I got a preacher friend of mine I preach with. He's got a tattoo on his arm that says, loser. I said, what frame of mind was you in when you got that? Does that mean you always want to be a loser? Or you always have been a loser? Was that to change losing or just to exclaim that you were a loser? I don't know. I said, it behooves me. It befuddles me. It amazes me. It's like I'm with stupid. Then you look at stupid's got tattooed stupid right across their head. That's me. She's with me. I'm stupid. Amen. And stupid is, stupid does. And people don't want to realize it. And that's why some of the organized religion and even Baptist churches, the bigger they get, they disdain us. You know why? Anybody here. This is a place where even squares can have a ball. Amen. Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 2, he says, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? It's a good question. What's our hope? What's our joy? What makes us happy? What are we working for? Here's what he said. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. You know what we want to see? We want to see you when we get there. That'll be our reward. That'll be our crown. Amen. Brother Bilbo and was here Sunday, and we was talking about the church over there in Pottstown. And I said, I remember, Brother Paul, I remember one of their revivals. We was there, and an old boy walked the aisle from the back, had an old long ponytail, and he walked the aisle and got saved. I said, you know, about 7 or 8 years later, I was preaching in a church. I even forget where it was. It wasn't even Pennsylvania. And he walked up to me, and the clean-cut guy, the suit on, and had his Bible in his hand. He goes, you know who I am? I said, no, sir. You a cop? He goes, no. He goes, I was that guy in a ponytail there at Pottstown that got saved. He said, 7 years ago, whatever it was. And I go, I remember you. And he said, I heard you was going to be here. He said, I wanted to come and hug your neck. Amen. Amen. We had a gal, and I know I'm on time. But I had a gal, she came to Brother Chandler's camp, Arkansas, from California. And I've known her since she was a little old kid, like some of y'all. I've known since you were babies. And I've seen that little old girl, and she come to camp, and she was cold. Cold spiritually, like some of y'all are tonight. Amen. You can see it. You can feel it. And that girl, God started moving, and that girl came forward, and she motioned for me. And I went down there to pray with her, and the first thing she did is she rolled her sleeve up and showed me where she was cutting herself. And she goes, what do I do? I said, stop that. And she come from a split home and all, and man, we prayed and cried together. And amen. I said, I love you, girl. Stop doing that. And she gave me her little journal that she had, Alan. And she goes, here, take this. I don't want it no more. And I went back to that place where I stay when I met Brother Jim's. And I opened that thing up at night, and it was her. She'd write in there all what was going on in her heart and her mind. And I'm telling you, I took a journey into that girl's world. And I didn't want to be in there. She talked about how she hates people and how she hates her folks and hates the church. And man, I ripped it up. And I made a point that week, man, we stayed close. And I went out there to L.A. It's been a few years ago, and it's been a few years since that camp. And I walked into Brother Dave Gilbert's church, and there was a girl standing there in a nice pretty print dress. And she goes, Brother Mark, I'm here. And she drove 2.5 hours to be over there. I said, what are you doing here, girl? She goes, I come to see you. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You stick your neck out for somebody. Amen. They'll come see you. They'll love you, and you'll have a purpose in life. You'll have a love in life. I'm telling you, that goes, it surpasses anything you could ask or think. This life is the best there is. But you know what you got to do? You got to stick your neck out. Amen. Now here tonight, I don't know. Probably be best to stick your leg out first. So what do you mean? Stick your leg out and come right down to an old-fashioned altar and do business. We have plenty of time. This is your church. There's only a little trickle of visitors in here. Why don't we have revival? Why don't you stick your neck out? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist comes tonight. Invitations open. Would you come? Would you come? I remember when some of y'all used to be concerned about people. You actually used to pray. You had a prayer list. You'd meet with the other ladies, and you were concerned. What happened? You better fix it. You know why you're still here right now? Somebody keeps sticking their neck out for you. I don't know. It might be good to thank those here tonight that have stuck their neck out for you. You might want to thank them. Thank you. April sitting here on the front row, she may have come and got you. She may have led you to Christ back in the back room. No doubt there's some in here like that. Why don't you thank her tonight? She stuck her neck out. Amen. Brother Allen stuck his neck out for you many times. Still is. Why don't you come, would you? How about it? Would you slip out of your seat and come? Can you tell somebody? Can you look at somebody and say, man, thank you. I love you. Amen. Sounds corny, but I'm telling you, that's the way this church will operate. It's how you go on. Father, bless this invitation. God, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.